Hey, it's Justine Thomas, along with Joe Danier, and I want to welcome everybody to our first hour. This is our first major voyage going on here,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I kind of wanted to talk today about some of the things that everybody seems to be experiencing in their lives, along with this pandemic. Some people are, more than others, are working from home now, and like Google, okay? Originally, they said their employees would return to their San Francisco Bay Area in July. Well, they've pushed it now back to September, and now Google is extending its employee work from home policy to June of 2021. Could you imagine your employees, Joe, working at home?
You know, and early on, we had a couple of clients that said, hey, we're selling our employees to work from home. How do we ensure, you know, mm-hmm. they're working, that we pay them for an 8-hour day, and there's no way to actually see if they've been working? So how much, you know, production is cut out of a workday because of how this is? So, no, I couldn't imagine it.
Well, even on the flip side, it's now hard for management to manage a crew that is no longer there. When you're at work, at least you're mingling with other work employees. You're making sure things are getting done. Yep. Some are working in a team atmosphere, and now you're working from home by yourself and trying to do the same amount of production to get out there that you would have normally done.
And you know, when something's new, like you stick to your schedule still and you do the right thing. But as it goes on, you get a little bit more lax.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of this, you might actually get only a couple minutes of real work done unless there's a way for someone to check your homework, which I don't think there's any real way to do that.
No, there's not. And I'll tell you what, Twitter, another one, they're in San Francisco, told employees in May they could come back to, they didn't have to come back indefinitely.
Oh my goodness, I could not imagine.
Yeah, so the company suspended travel and in-person events for the rest of 2020. Another one, Square. They are telling people indefinitely. Maybe their offices aren't going to reopen and you're going to be working from home. So your whole lifestyle is changing. Our whole lifestyle is changing with this pandemic. And I don't know. I mean, do you feel that people are more productive working from home?
All right. So here's my real feeling. I think what's happening is, even with like McDonald's, I mean, you would never think that a high margin company like McDonald's would be closing down 200 stores because of this,
mm-hmm.
but it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not closing down all of their stores. They're closing down stores that were, you know, they couldn't make the payrolls and they couldn't, you know, pay all of their bills for it. So you're seeing like sort of the weaker get killed off.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some people who are doing super, you know, super well at this time. So what I think is going to happen is that, you know, there's going to be a vacuum where there are going to be opportunities for new companies coming. So you're going to see this like entrepreneurship season,
mm-hmm.
you know, come out of this. I'm pretty sure. So we're dealing with the thinking that this might be a perpetual thing. I think it really will. I don't think it's going to last like 1 or 2 years. I think this is like the real thing now.
This is the new
thing.
This is
for
what
sure.
we have to look forward to. Well, it changes a lot of people's lifestyles as well. Even Amazon, if you're not working, you know, in the warehouses, you're not delivering, then they have the people working from home, taking the calls. A lot of the call centers are now working from home. A lot of MasterCard is another one who is not having their people returning back to work. Also, insurance companies, Nationwide Insurance, they're having people work from home permanently now. They don't want the brick and mortar businesses and having the people inside them, which are businesses saving money that way if they are not having people having electric on and having, you know, having to report in, and, you know, you can email reports. And
I mean, just how you consume things. You probably go to a restaurant's different now.
Yes.
Right. So let's picture a restaurant, and probably the most expensive part of a restaurant is the dining area.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say you could prepare food and you could cook it and you could put it in boxes and people just pick it up, and you cut that whole dining area out, you pick mm-hmm. up the payrolls, you might be able to have the same product, which you sell the same amount of food, but because you don't have to do the dining area, you might make higher margins than you did before. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, shopping with Amazon, it's probably way more efficient to do that, get in your car and drive to the store. Anyhow, you probably buy less stuff
mm-hmm.
because you're not browsing, you know, a bunch of other products. So it's a different world.
I know there were so many times where I thought, oh, I really should go to the store, but I don't want to put the mask on. And I don't want to fight the crowd. And, you know, we had talked about this before about masks. They're so hard to wear.
Yeah.
They're so hard to, you know, after a while, and it's warm outside. How do you go outside go from air conditioning to go outside or doing something outside, which we both said, why would you have to wear a mask outside? But we have talked about this in the past where you're going into stores, you're going into businesses, and we must wear these for at least 6 weeks is what they're saying. So I don't know.
I've been pretty good at carrying one in my back pocket and remembering it. But I had an instance today where I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't bring it with me. I just showed up like it was nothing's going on. And when I got in there, I was like, oh, all these eyes are pegged at me that I'm standing in this place. And it was a little awkward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is very awkward. And I'll tell you, is this the new norm? It's kind of scary.
Probably.
But I want to hear people's opinion. So give us a call, 330-595-1600. I want to know how your lives have all changed. I've got Sherry Richards. I've worked from home for 13 years. I'm just as productive and at times more productive from home.
Interesting.
They have many ways of tracking our every move.
Yeah, so maybe the technologies of people tracking will extend to their homes, and that's a way of getting more productivity. That's interesting.
Well, it's interesting, too. I mean, parents are now, like we said, she's working from home. And I'm sure she may have children, maybe, maybe not. But I have noticed that people who work from home, they're now having to watch their kids. Okay, so you've got to make sure, and this has been going on since March. The kids have been home from school pretty much, I believe.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't have children.
Yeah. February, March, that's about
but
right.
You have children.
Mm-hmm.
And has it been hard for you guys to do your job at home and then make sure that the kids are doing their scholastic activities?
My wife's a teacher, so I'm the exception.
You know,
it wasn't hard at all because they both became available to be at home at the same time, and she's already an educator, so that, you know, was an easy version of it. But we can see that, you know, you're at home working at the same time you're supposed to be providing an education, and what takes priority? You know, one's going to lose, I'll tell you that. So.
True. This is true. Well, I'll tell you what. I think that if kids do not go back to school and they stay home, they're not learning how to be around other kids. They're not learning social skills. They're not, you know, anybody can get on Facebook or anybody can get on social media and anybody can play the video games. But it's interacting with people that you're really losing face with this.
Yeah. So and I'm wondering, too, how if these kids go, I mean, you're not getting the same percentage of education that you are this way, no matter what. Even if it's okay, it's still not the same as being in a classroom. So if you go a year or 2 years under the system, how far behind are those kids going to get when having that version of an education? You get this divide where maybe some homes could pull it off like ours, mm-hmm. but some homes can't do it. And the kids get 5 minutes of education per day over 2 years. Mm-hmm. Think of how far behind that group's going to be.
Well, I'll tell you, I have had friends that have had kids that were in school and then that were homeschooled. Okay. And I have asked them, I said, do you think that the education through you or through the school that they went through online is any different? They're like, oh, no. And the kids get to meet up, you know, maybe once a year and throw a prom wherever at some place that these kids have been friends with online. But I think being friends, and let's face it, you've got friends on Facebook. They'll like something that you've done, or they'll give a smiley face, or they'll say, oh, wow, or good job. But do you really know them?
They won't show up at any of my parties. I ask them all, they don't want to hang out. I don't know what it is.
But seriously, I mean, how strong is a friendship? How strong is a bond
right.
if you're going on Facebook or social media or Twitter or what have you? And are you really, really making a stronghold bond for the rest of your life?
Yeah, probably not.
So I think
superficial at best.
Oh, I think so too. And, you know, sending these kids back to school, I think a lot of parents are nervous to send these kids back to school. I think, and I think I would be too. I really would. You know, these kids will be around other kids, and you know how germs fly, and you know when, you know, you get a lot of sicknesses, kids go to school, okay? You bring it home. First time you got a sniffly nose or you're coughing or fever, do I have corona? So
yes.
you don't know.
And I'm a germaphobe, so I already know. My wife being a kindergarten teacher, she brings all of that stuff home, and my kid being a 10-year-old, he brings all of that stuff mm-hmm. home, and I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have a better immune system than most because I get such exposure, you know, to it. But somebody on Facebook said this morning that kids were going to, you know, show up with a mask that had their favorite superhero and somebody else showing up, and they're going to trade masks. So it's not going to work out how we think it is.
And this is true. When you go somewhere and you're out in public. Okay, you got this mask on, so nobody knows if you're smiling at, you know, you're smiling at them or if you're being, you could tell probably by your eyes if you've got a stern look on your face, but I just think it's so impersonal with these masks anymore.
I'm with you.
I mean, it really, really is, and it's sad to see what this is coming to. And then, of course, you know, we had mentioned prior that these different hand sanitizers and these different antibacterial soaps and things that we're using, we're actually cutting down on our immune systems.
For sure.
No matter how you want to look at
it. Less sun, less activity, probably eating way worse than you were at one time. You don't have access to the same food. And now everything's sterilized. You're not building up. Here's something else I thought about this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like the regular cold and the regular flu, it's probably not affecting people either. So you're probably going to see a dip in those two, which means on the other side of this, those guys are going to rage back and hit us across the face. Because typically we get regular exposures to it. We don't.
And now you're knocking that immune system down.
Yep.
So start taking your vitamin C.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Start to, you know, Z-packs. You can get those. I don't know. I think in this day and age, a lot of things are changing. I think this has scared us. This pandemic has just really put a lot of things into reality. Like, oh gosh, you know, what's next? Yep. What are we going to be facing next? So
when, you know, before all of this, I had a, you know, bunch of people on my Facebook feed that I would see regularly trying to hawk vitamins or special nutrition stuff and whatnot. And I figured this would be a great excuse for people to really hammer down on building your immune system and eating healthy and whatever. And it's been the opposite.
Like, people have gained weight.
Yes, yes.
But
this would be a good time for those people who specialize in this to come out and teach everybody how to not be unhealthy.
Well, there's all these diet plans now that you can go on. You're seeing them all scrolling all through Facebook and the keto and this and that. But I think if you just get out, you do some exercise and even doing some stuff around the house that you've been putting off for years and years and years might help
you. We're trying to encourage people to be better, right?
I know. I don't know. But from September on, you know, they're saying, are we going to be getting this all over again, even worse, 10 times worse? And I don't know if you saw what DeWine put up. If you've traveled in these different states, then you need to quarantine yourself. Did you see
that? Yeah.
Fortunately, I don't go anywhere.
Right before that, we pretty much, we did a Florida trip and we traveled in the RV and we pretty much went to every hotspot state that there was before all this went down. But had we done that the week after, then that would have been us as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think, in your opinion, that people are, I believe they're tired of this and their guard is down and they're doing less and less to do the sanitary hand wipes and the, you know, wiping off counters and wiping off, like, we, you know, when you brought something home from the store, you made sure you wiped the bag down.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah. You've got your mask on. You've got, you know, you've got your gloves on, you're wiping counters down, you're wiping the fruit down, you're soaking it in water. And well, you're supposed to anyways, in soap and water. And you think people are doing that now? Or you think
the same reason with the productivity. The first couple of weeks, you are productive and you're just acting like you were at work. Time goes on and you get a little bit lax and you're like, hey, nothing bad's happened, so maybe I can keep, and you just keep deteriorating until we hear it and it's like, oh yeah, that's still going on. But I don't think we take it as serious as once we did.
I know, and I'll be honest, I after a while was like, oh, so we've plateaued, we're good, I don't have to worry about this anymore, and the restaurants are opening back up. And but I think people have taken a lax approach to this. And, you know, it's kind of, you still, when you're going into stores and you're going into restaurants, you still have that 6-foot social distancing. But do you think 6 foot is enough?
I, you know what, that's a, I think it is. I think what happens, like, when what they're afraid of is when you cough or sneeze that this cloud of your saliva goes out everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I think there's going to be the amount of has to get into you before you can get infected. Where I think you're going to get some of it, I don't necessarily think the density is enough to get you sick unless you're closer than that 6 foot. I think that's what they're basing on. It's probably like 4 foot.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch Mythbusters back in the day? Mythbusters, a bunch of science geeks that used to test out.
This was your favorite show, too.
You know it. And what he did was he put a bunch of, like, purple dye in his mouth.
Okay.
And he put a white piece of paper behind him and a white piece of paper. And he sneezed.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a slow motion camera to look all the droplets and see how far that exposure went. And it did. It when it, once it was visible, it went out in this big shotgun-like cloud.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I picture here is at the 6 foot level, that cloud is probably so dispersed that whatever gets in your nose is probably like a fraction of what it was when it came out of the nostril. That's disgusting. Why am I even talking like that?
I don't know. I don't know how we got there from working at home to, to your favorite
Leave
science
it
show.
Joe.
Leave it to Joe. Thanks, Joe. Got me all off track now, Joe. But it was funny because on a friend's Facebook page alone, just wearing the mask and the kids going back to school, some of the cute things that some of the teachers had come up with, like, why is your mask soaking wet? You just came back from the bathroom. Or please take the mask off your eyes and watch where you're walking. I don't care if you have X-ray vision. I could see you as a child doing that.
For sure. You think I'm a troublemaker, don't you?
No.
I see.
No, not at all. I'm sorry you broke the elastic on your mask by seeing how far the band would stretch. I haven't tried that yet.
I know. Like
slingshot.
Slingshot.
Now you'll have to hold the mask on your face or use duct tape.
Duct tape.
Woman's best friend, by the way. Also, what do you mean you tried to eat your lunch through your mask? You've asked me that one other time. I can't even talk through these masks and you want me to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. It's a real bad thing. But I think with some of these masks, I think we're learning, I don't know, do you, this here we go with one of these subjects again, but when you go up and you're meeting somebody and somebody holds their hand out to shake at the hand, you're a germaphobe.
I hated that before this, right?
So
now it's like an assault. Well, there's early on, like the first 5 days into this thing, some guy shook my hand. And I did it just out of like habit, right? But then after I thought about it, I couldn't stop picturing my hand and I didn't want it anywhere near. Like I treated it like it was toxic at that point.
Oh, geez.
And I did get it sanitized. But since then...
What did you do?
Oh, I looked for that pump. Nope.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. And then... a little bit later when we were a little bit routine, somebody stuck their hand out and I said, are you sure you want to do that? And then he switched to the elbow bump right away. And then, so I corrected it and didn't do it in a jerk kind of way.
So. Okay. So is this the new thing? The elbow bump?
It is too.
Instead of shaking hands.
Yes. It's okay. The elbow bump.
So a man that, you know, you're going into an interview, you're going into a meeting or what have you, and you just...
And they're elbow bumping. Hey. Yes, right. Yeah. Hey, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know what? Even meetings before that were getting to the point where people were a little bit too lax. They weren't doing traditional things. So it ended up being like that even before this. But anyway, that's just my
complaint.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And what about hugging? Are you a hugger?
No. I'm not a hugger.
Do not come near you. No, you're a germaphobe.
Oh, yes.
So you must take stock in Lysol and...
No, I'm real big on just developing my own immune system. I do like to get exposures to it, but I touch people's keyboards all day long, and people are gross. I mean, they really are. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll lick their fingers and touch the keyboard, and I know that I follow that up. Mm-hmm. So that's where I get really grossed out. Normal stuff,
people can really lick their fingers.
Oh, my God. If you look at a keyboard sometimes, look at it under the light, and then look at, like, different colorations, right? Mm-hmm. And what you'll get is you'll see a little Cheeto here and there. You'll see just the oils from the hands. It's so gross. If you looked at this thing or take a keyboard and, like, shake it underneath, see what pops out of there,
that's
what I get to touch on a regular basis. And yeah.
Nice. Well, you're the computer guru, so of
course.
Can you imagine sitting at home? You're in sweatpants. You're working from home. Cheetos, potato chips,
don't even tell me that.
Pretzels.
I want to talk about it.
Well, that does happen. And, you know, with kids as well, they're constantly feeding their faces as well.
So. I think adults are way grosser than kids are, though.
I do. Yeah. Well, I think kids going back to school, some of these kids with the new policies, they're saying that kids are getting so stressed out now that they're not able to deal with COVID. They're not able to go back and, you know, they're worried that they're going to catch it. And, you know, how do you tell your little one, it's okay to go back to school. Just wear this mask for 8 hours. They don't care.
You almost have to tell them, don't watch the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is trying to scare the crap out of everybody.
Absolutely.
So you're saying, hey, it's going to be okay. And then they watch the news for 10 seconds and they would go crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think once it's politicized, once we're in this mode, I honestly think, I don't know what I would tell my kid other than, you know, an older kid, they're blowing this out of proportion. They're politicizing it. Take it when you get it. It's on a 10, lower to a 5, and that's where you probably find the truth. Less than that, like young kids, I don't know what I would tell them.
That's a good question. What would you tell your kid going back to school. How would you handle that? Give us a call. Let us know. 330-595-1600. That number again, 330-595-1600. I want to hear how people are going to be handling this. I think it's, you know, if you've got any tips or any ideas or, you know, how you've been getting along so far, of course, you know, we want to know about it. I know that during the summertime, I've had friends that have had kids. Oh, I can't wait till they go back to school. I need the break now.
I wonder how many families are just going to go the homeschooling route. I think a lot of them are going to pull kids out of this traditional mm-hmm. school and just do it at home. And I wonder how many older teachers that can retire are just going to bail out of the system. And there might be a huge lack of educators
this
in the system.
True. And then again, there may not be.
Right.
I've had my time. And I don't want to go back in. And, you know, is this going to stop people from going to school for teaching? Are they going to be rethinking their education and what they want to do when they get out? And, you know, it a lot of things are just all up in the air right now. We don't know how this is going to pan out. We don't know when this is going to stop. And are we ever really going to be rid of Corona? That's the big question. And if we do keep going with this Corona, are we going to build up antibodies in our system that are going to be able to fight this off?
From what they're saying is that there's versions ahead of us that are even worse than this version. So like the new normal mm-hmm. where you can't exchange with other people, right? Then think about 5 years from now, then nobody will listen to anything that's anybody said, but our culture will be so used to wearing masks and being separated from one another. It won't be about spreading disease anymore. We'll just be always on our own, like somewhere in the field somewhere.
And that to me is scary.
It is.
That we have come to this point. And all over, well, they're saying this was man-made.
Bill Gates did it. Did you know that?
No.
Yep.
Are you sure about this? Bill Gates. We'll just blame it on him. Bill Gates did it. But are we sure Bill Gates did it?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore.
Put blame where, you know.
What's the most likely, as far as if you were to take a guess out of what this all is, aside from the conspiracy, what makes the most sense to you?
Quite honestly, I think it was man-made. Don't you? Seriously?
It makes the most sense. Because if you ask the question, do you think we're messing with diseases in labs right now to see what?
Absolutely.
So there's diseases that are bad that are mm-hmm. in the lab. So what they're saying is that somebody got sick while they were in the lab and then just left the lab. That seems pretty logical that happened. I don't think it was on purpose, though.
The story I got.
Yeah? Okay, let's do it. Come on. Conspiracy theory.
The story I got, there was somebody, like you said, in the lab, and they were putting together all of this different organisms, and they're mixing it all up, and they were testing it on kids, younger kids. Well, 21, I'm older than that, so anything older than my age is a kid. But supposedly, they tried it on him. He did not have any side effects. He went out that night, went into a bar, had a couple drinks, and from there it spread.
Okay.
Now, whether he sneezed all over everybody, I have no idea. I wasn't there, wasn't privy to that information, but did you hear anything
plausible.
Like that?
Yeah. Plausible. Don't know.
Don't
plausible.
Know. But down the road, and then they're saying that once the election's over, this is all going to go away.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Not that we want to get political.
I think the hysteria will go away. I think there'll be less effort to try to make people scared about it. And then mm-hmm. if you take like the other pandemics that happen, I think it will allow itself just to circulate, herd immunity, and then we'll stop paying attention to it. And when we do that, we'll just kind of, you know, do you know anybody that's sick? Do you know anybody that's died?
I don't know of anybody. I mean, I've seen different posts on Facebook that so-and-so is sick or so-and-so passed away from this. I don't know. Thank God, anybody in my life that has, you know, that's close to me that has. How
right.
about you?
No, same here. Like, I've heard third parties, people that I know of someone, not saying that no one's dying. I'm saying that you will take it seriously mm-hmm. when it comes close enough to you to say, oh, we got to take this seriously. Otherwise, once you don't see it happening around you, there's no bodies, there's no nothing to scare you about.
Right.
That,
right.
Yeah.
And that's why I think people have dropped their guard
so much.
And, you know, with the reporting of this COVID, we're going up, we're going down, we're going up, we're going down. And just like we had said before, when DeWine had made it mandatory, you know, he had the press conference at, 5:30? And then the very next day, all of a sudden, Ohio went down. So, like you said, 6 weeks, wear these masks, But it's been tough. But I guess it could be worse. We could, you know, it could be worse somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
another shutdown would probably be pretty devastating. It would hurt.
Do you think we'll have one?
Okay, so we hit a pretty high number today. I'm halfway thinking that the 2 o'clock thing that is on right now is probably alluding that it's not getting any better and start bar restaurant. You know, I think we're going to go through that process again. Yeah.
My heart goes out to these bars and restaurants. Yeah, it really does, because they're trying to make a living. You know, they were doing well before this happened, and now all of a sudden, you can't go. You can't go 6 feet. Have you ever been in a restaurant? It's like a morgue.
It is too.
I mean, it's so sad because there's, you know, I could put my purse on a chair next to me now, where before I couldn't do that.
Right.
But it's sad because you know that their money, they count on people to come into their stores or come into the restaurants and eat and drink and have a good time. Pretty much when you go in there, you grab your food and you're gone.
Right.
You don't stick around. You don't socialize anymore. And that's, I think a lot of people are missing out on socializing. Let's face it. We went out into these establishments to go and socialize with people and go and have a good time. Or, you know, to some of the wineries, things like that. You go out and you have a good time. But now they're cutting back on the amount of people that can come in there, on the amount of spaces in between. And after a while, you're just like, okay, I could do this at home. you know?
Well, and think, I mean, I was looking fly on the wall about people who were contemplating the dating scene during this stuff. It's non-existent.
Yes.
The baby making is probably not happening. So
I don't know
about
that. Well, no. Not what I meant. But now I've seen more of my friends and their kids that are now pregnant or having kids, or it's like, yeah, you were born.
Yeah,
like a big,
right.
Huge baby boom now.
Right. Well, from people who are already established, but you get too far out where people aren't, you know, able to hook up and date and stuff like that. And it could be a whole different thing.
And I got to tell you, too, the dating scene with this now, pretty soon you're going to have a health card. Okay. Have you been checked for corona?
What we used to ask and what we ask now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I could see it.
Can I see your medical records?
Yeah, who have you been with? Where were you with last week?
Different. It's scary out there. How do you start a life all over? How do you start dating again, internet-wise?
You don't.
Okay, because I've never done that to begin with, but, you know, we could do a whole new show on that one.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, everything that we know is now not the same anymore.
Yep.
So I don't know. Anybody's thoughts on this? Help us out here. 330-595-1600. Are we just demented and this is the way we're thinking or what? Does somebody else agree with us? 330-595-1600. Again, I've got a comment from Sherry. My industry, travel, has been wiped out. I can believe that. Truly believe that. She says she's blessed to be working, but so many of the colleagues are about to lose that extra $600. And with another shutdown, they will not have a job to go back to. These are very sad times.
Absolutely.
Very sad times. So, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with her. Travel is changing. Could you imagine being on an airplane and sneezing? It happens.
What are those federal marshals that are on the plane will tackle you for sneezing, right?
They will either do that or just like you had said, you know, when you're in a store, you were telling me prior that you have now found a way with your coughing.
To cough internally. Yeah.
How do you do it?
It feels like clearing your throat, like a, yeah, that's a cough. I ate a cough. That's all you got to do. Sneezing is the same thing. Mm-hmm. I've held a sneeze in until I got out of the store. I didn't even know it was possible to hold a sneeze in.
It's not good for your lungs, though.
Probably not.
It's really not.
Yeah.
And we were talking prior. I went shopping, actually. I was in Handyman Hardware Store. And I was standing where my line was, where I was supposed to be. Everybody's got their masks on. And the poor guy behind me, of course, he had his mask on. He was older. And he had an oxygen tube on his nose. And you hear him behind you. And it sounds like Darth Vader behind you. So it's like, I mean, I feel, and I'm not making fun of him by any means, poor guy. But, you know, anymore, you just, you have to be careful when you're out and about and you're going into all these places. And I was telling you earlier, too, that I had stepped up to the counter. And the lady says, do you have a rewards card with us? Yes, I have a rewards card. Name? Give her the name. Phone number? Now, everybody in the whole store, I don't have to worry about internet dating. Everybody's got my phone number in there. Health card. Health card, everyone. So, yeah, but I...
We've got a caller, too, if you want to take
it. Oh, let's take it.
All right. Let's queue you up. All right, caller, you are on with Justine.
Hello.
Hey, Justine. It's Sherry Richards calling, the commenter.
Hello, commenter. Good. How are you?
I am good. I love the show. It's amazing. You guys, you're just bringing up every topic that is on everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think one of the worst things is for the home workers who work during the day and their kids were off at school and they came home from school and your life went on as normal. You made dinner and did homework and all that. Well, now this happened to me as I was caretaker for two of my nephews this past year. And now all of a sudden you've got to make sure the schoolwork is done. You've got to make sure that they're online. You're sharing the internet. It's absolute chaos.
Oh, yeah.
And you're still trying to work, you know. And what I had to do was start to work overnight so that I could be up during the day and, you know, take care of them and school. But I think what a lot of people are doing is aunts, uncles, grandparents, best friends, neighbors, mom circle, they're all starting to step up for each other because there's nothing else you can do. There's not daycare. People don't want to go to your home to babysit. You know,
true.
It's those sort of things that you don't think, you know, I don't have children. I've never had children. I took these boys in and, you know, I was blindsided. I knew nothing about kids, but we had them all. It's been a good year. But you don't think about things like that. You know, I mean, I normally wouldn't think about babysitters and, you know, a daycare or
true.
Even the YMCA has programs. So they were all shut down.
So what do you do?
The people that, the essential workers, you know, anybody that did have a job that did have to show up, they were really put between a rock and a hard place. And then many of us, you know, not myself, but many people that I know, their hours were reduced. They didn't lose their job, but their hours are reduced.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lots of animosity on people getting the extra $600, mm-hmm. which I think is sad.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, that part kind of, for people who didn't make that much food, I hope you saved some of it.
Right.
For people, it made their salary almost whole. Well, that was a great thing, and we all thought, people would be back to work by now, but now that they're not, and that money's getting pulled away. I know they're talking about doing this percentage thing and $200 and all of that, but that's not going to help the people who have house payments due, car payments.
Not only that, but property taxes, insurances, you name it, health insurance.
Groceries.
Utilities.
I mean, I know people, you know, who had really good money and you know, but hey, it is what it is. And they make good money, but they're living paycheck to paycheck. Well, now they're really in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And it's really sad. And I feel bad for all of us. We're all here together.
I do, too.
We're all here together. And, you know, hopefully they can come up with some sort of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But the dating thing is actually pretty funny. I feel bad for anybody in the dating pool.
Thanks.
hope you got a hobby.
This is true. Well, tell
you
me this.
Start selling that.
Tell me this much, Sherry. Are you still taking care of the nephews?
Actually, no. They have actually been placed with my aunt permanently.
Okay, good.
We just had them temporarily. My husband and I had them for a year.
Wow.
And now they've been placed with my aunt, which is wonderful. And, you know, it's good for everyone. It's good for the kids. She's a great kid person. She raised her kids and, you know, 40 of my cousins, which is pretty amazing.
God bless her.
Not really.
Well, tell
me. She's one of those kid people. All the kids were at her house. They're great.
Now, I'll tell you what, if you still had the kids, okay, would you be nervous sending them back to school? Since you've done the homeschooling with them, would you?
You know, honestly, no, I would not. And here's why. I still, you know, who would have thanked this, but I'm still in, like, this mom's group, you know, Facebook-type stuff. And the teachers were so awesome about emails and the school with Twitter and all these apps they have. And they've been keeping, I'm still in those loops to be updated. And if you saw the things they're doing, they're pretty darn amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to separate the desks with the panels and, you know, the sanitizing and all of that. And this is why I wouldn't be scared to send them back to school. Number
mm-hmm.
one,
mm-hmm.
they go into Walmart.
True.
I have not been in Walmart or Target and not seen a woman carting around with three or four kids.
Right.
Touching the handles. And I don't care who wipes them off. They're using the same rag, wiping off the handle. What's the difference, personally? The playgrounds are now open, so you see kids at the playground. Where's the difference? I think if they're in the school and the school has a responsibility, and I believe that they will all fulfill that, to sanitize and clean, I wouldn't be afraid. That's just me.
Okay.
I would not be afraid to send them to school. And from what I've seen from my school district, I was pleased with it. I thought, well, I would have sent them. Of course, I really was in them all the time to wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. Don't touch, wash your hands. As I think every parent's doing with their kids, mm-hmm. everybody. So I think that the kids, you know, they're like, this is just what you do now.
Mm-hmm.
They're young. Their minds are fresh. They're not, you know, like me, just an old person who doesn't like change.
Right,
but, you know,
right.
But they automatically do it now. Like, they just automatically walk in the door, and the first thing they do is wash their hands.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been drilling it into their heads since March.
And that's a good parent.
You know,
good parent.
Yeah. And it used to be, you know, if you had to go to the grocery store, if I had to take them because, you know, I had nobody to help me during the day.
Right.
They would sit in the car, and I would, you know, put on my mask and run in and get what was on my list and get out. And, you know, I had a gallon of water and some antibacterial soap and some paper towels in my truck. And as soon as I got to the truck, I opened the door, washed my hands right there in the parking lot, threw my paper towel away, and then I would get in the truck. And I, you know, I wouldn't even let them go in the store. Probably the last month, I let them go in the store with me with their mask and not touching anything. So, and I saw a lot of people with their kids in the stores.
So you've loosened up with
I don't
it.
Know.
Yeah, you've loosened up with it just like we have.
Right, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think everyone has. I mean, when the mask mandate the first time, you know, I wore my mask everywhere. And then, exactly, I did. I started to, like, I'm just running in to get lettuce, you know, and I wouldn't wear my mask. And like I heard Joe say, everybody's staring at you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Looking at you like you have a third head.
So,
and I, you know, I've been home for so long, I might have a third head. I don't even know. But, yeah, it's really a weird time. But I would have sent them to school. If I still had the boys, I would have sent them to my school district because I followed what they're doing. And I feel very comfortable that they are on it and they follow through. You know, I can't speak for any other district, but I know mine, I would feel comfortable. And it's always been a very clean school anyways. It's
mm-hmm.
very tidy, very kept nice. But, you know, this whole thing, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And people
it is
are
crazy.
Having to reinvent themselves.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. How well we know,
yeah.
yes. And I'll tell you what, from the way that they're putting the custodial, how do I want to put this? The custodians are coming in after every class and wiping down desks, wiping down doorknobs, wiping down chairs.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's extra pay, too.
It is, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
they're putting in more.
Because
you're a germaphobe.
Yeah, there's going to be more custodians. Positions open.
Right.
You know,
that's
this is how it is now. There are going to be more custodian positions. You know, I mean, think about it. The bus garages, they have to
yes.
sanitize the buses. I mean, the school, everything. So the sad part about the kids is the sports.
Yes.
So important for them. And I hope that the kids are going to be able to play sports. That's the one thing I feel bad for them is, because that's their whole school thing.
It is.
It's a little extra fun.
Their scholarships that carry on afterwards or, you know, to colleges and what have you. Yes. There's a lot riding on this right now. Really, there is. And we don't even think about it. We just touch the tip of what, this trickle-down effect is.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, well,
it's going to be bad. I'm brushing up my truck driving skills because you never know.
You go, girl. Girl after my own heart. Aw. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Sherry, for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome, you guys. I enjoy listening. And is this a weekly thing now?
We're saying Tuesdays and Thursdays,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah,
so tune in.
Yep.
Be a regular caller.
All right.
Okay.
I'll try to sit down.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
right,
honey.
Thanks, you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Now, if somebody else has something they want to add to that, 330-595-1600. I love to hear from you. So give us a call. Again, 330-595-1600. We've got a comment from Betsy Johnquest. She says she likes the show. Thank you, Betsy. She says, but she doesn't see the name of it. It's just Justine Thomas Hour right now. Thanks,
right.
Joe.
It is what we could come up with, right? It is not named yet.
So anybody wants to throw out suggestions or comments, by all means, please. And by the way, if you have something you'd like us to cover, give me some ideas.
Absolutely.
That would be great. It would really help me out here.
Yeah, and if you're listening on Facebook, you can do it right in the comments section. If you're listening on any of the podcasts, you can find this at Youngstown Studio. If you're on iTunes or Spotify, go to Youngstown Studio on Facebook, find this broadcast, and you can also comment on that as well.
Look at you.
Look at that.
Wow,
did you see that?
Good. Yeah. Well, Betsy says she doesn't think the virus came from a lab. She actually says the labs are very well regulated, even in China, which, like I said, that was just a...
It's probable.
It's
like
a
situation that has a little bit of legs.
Yes, absolutely. Has a lot of legs.
Okay, a lot of legs.
It went all over. Yeah. She says she believes it came from close human interaction with animals who carry this virus. I don't know. The only thing I had heard about was maybe a cat could carry it, but then that wasn't... They didn't really have proof on that either. So I don't know, and the cats were in China, so...
These things, they evolve so quickly, and they can
be.
I mean, we used to be a germaphobe. I studied this stuff quite a bit.
But when we travel,
right? Mm-hmm. So you go to different places. You go to a state that's four or five hours away.
Right.
Well, you don't interact with those people, so the viruses and germs there are different than ones that you experience at home.
Oh, sure.
So it's enough, like your anxiety goes up, and you're stressed out for traveling. You eat a little bit different. You get less sleep, and now you get exposed to things that you didn't have before. Well, think about places in the remote parts of the world, in the jungles and stuff like that. I can very well see these organisms taking advantage of human to animal, animal to human, and back and forth, no doubt.
Well, I have horses, and I've got dogs, I've got cats, and they're saying that you can't, like a horse can't give something to a dog, and a dog can't give something to a cat, and a person can't catch something from an animal. So there's kind of...
I don't agree with that totally.
Really?
I think it's harder. Mm-hmm. I think it's really difficult for an organism to make that jump. But anything that we do share biologically could be taken advantage by a germ of some kind, if it evolved to a point. I don't think any of it's easy. So I think it's, if you had something like in bats or rats or any of those animals... it would be more like it was unclean, and then we had biological material, and then that makes it easy transmission because they're leaving stuff behind on our, in our territories and vice versa.
Right.
But I don't think it's quite easy to do, but it's possible.
You never know. We may find out this came from a plant. You don't know.
I still think it was Bill Gates. Bill Gates did it.
Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, she says it's going to be able to watch your show and hear you take on issues we're all thinking about. Yes, I'm trying to put myself in other people's shoes and how they feel, and I know how I feel about it all, but I want to hear what, other people think and how it's affecting them and how their lifestyles have totally changed. Your spending habits have changed.
Yes.
You've now put budgets where you didn't have to put budgets before. Your traveling has changed. I'm sure buying vehicles, buying things from stores, buying... you know, you're getting just the necessities. And I'm talking those people that have lost their jobs. Now, you know, they're talking about, well, how about the people that have been working, the essential workers that have been working the whole time, they didn't get the $600. I agree to some point, I do, but you didn't have your job wiped out from underneath you either. So, I mean, there's a balance there. Right. You know, there is a balance.
What I see happen a lot is that if you have an opinion or a perspective, there's social pressure that sort of minimizes it. And if it's a concern to you, it's a real concern.
It's a real concern.
And I think a lot of people feel guilty about bringing those things out publicly. So you
right.
just stomach it in and watch it.
Right.
You know, it's just a terrible, terrible place to be.
Yes. Now, Betsy, they say it probably came from wet markets where they sell live exotic animals like live bats, like exactly what you were saying. So Betsy agrees with you. Thank you, Betsy, for the comments.
Yes.
Thank you, Sherry, for the comments and the calls. And again, if somebody has something that they want to touch upon that we've already touched upon or maybe we've missed and didn't mention it, give us a call, 330-595-1600. That's 330-595-1600. So, and again, too, like we mentioned prior, if there's something that you want us to touch upon, I'd be all over that.
Yeah,
I would do my research on that and try to find out any answers you're looking for, but, you know, leave it in the comments as well.
Good idea.
So, yeah. So this has been an exciting day. We've had some callers call in and germaphobe.
See, now I am typecast now. No
oh,
matter
yes.
what,
oh, yes.
I've got to be the dude that's, what was that monk? Was that guy, that detective that was always afraid of that kind of stuff? And, you know, when you saw a monk being like overdone,
mm-hmm.
that you'd make fun of him and mock him when he was doing it. But now this we've normalized it. It's like not, if you see me pumping on that thing, they used to make fun of me because I'd buy hand sanitizer in those big gallon, like glue bottles. And I would go through it like every year, like every 6 months, I'd have to be buying
it.
A new one. And now you'd just be like, Joe's safe.
I believe. Well, look at this. You think I'm kidding, folks? Look.
Don't
it's
mess around.
Don't mess around with Joe and his germaphobes. It's okay. We love you. We do. Paul Kiss, first-time listener from across the Ohio line in PA. He'd be interested in hearing about fatherlessness in America today. And that's true, too.
Yeah, let's put that topic together for Tuesday.
Yes,
show.
Let's put that topic together. Paul, what a great thing. Again, if something you... Joe has always been Sarah Russell. You've always been Sarah. Thanks, Sarah.
Now I can see the evil laugh in the background, right?
I can just imagine how far. Oh, don't call him a germaphobe.
Defensive.
Oh, defensive.
You see that coming to my aid?
But he calls himself that. He started it. No, I love Joe to death, and he's right there with us, right in the trenches. So
that's
yeah,
it.
So you're a good
guy. I'm essential. I have to be.
You have to be. So, but yeah, again, if somebody has something they want to comment on or something they want to talk about that we missed, there's got to be something we've missed today. 330-595-1600. I mean, Joe, let's do the recap here.
Yes.
We've talked about Google not going back to work, Twitter,
yes.
Square, Facebook, Salesforce, Amazon, even Microsoft. And then there's Spotify, Hitachi, Coinbase. I'm just hearing about Coinbase now. Where have I been?
Yeah.
Where have I been? Okay, MasterCard, Zillow.
I have a question for you. Since we're naming all these places, like a lot of doctor's offices have been doing telemedicine where they're doing sort of remote, like you see your doctor here. Have you done any of those, by the way?
No.
I like being in the same room with my doctor.
I don't
know if it would be the same thing where I could talk to him over the... I don't feel like he's really alone. Like there are groups of people that can hear what I'm telling him, and I don't trust that.
This is true. And when you are sitting there and you're face to face, they can see how. Oh yeah, you do look sick. You know, what
right?
I mean, it's like they show more. I think more. Maybe I don't know. I don't want to offend anybody, but they have a little bit more compassion. Your own personal doctor. You've got that personal one-on-one, and. I don't know. I do like going to a doctor and saying, okay, what was my blood pressure this time around? Or, you know, do I have
a fever? Well, I think they're taking it more serious because they're not holding a Mai Tai and doesn't have the grass skirt on and the sunglasses, you know, they're driving in a convertible when he's trying to diagnose
me. I agree 100% that I think close one-on-one. Again, we are missing when you're staying home and you're not working at home, you're not working with your coworkers, you're missing the one-on-one with a doctor, with you know, the nurses, with people that you knew. You're no longer with these people. You're sitting at home or you're over a Zoom screen going, okay, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, well, have you, it's just almost like when, like, winter comes along and people go on the roads for the first time and you watch them forget completely how to drive. Well, I think our social skills are depleting too, where we're going to have a hard time reinteracting with people that are in our immediate family. Have you noticed people are a little shorter than with each other than before?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I just in stores alone. You know, I've heard it. I've heard mothers and daughters getting into it. I heard a son, you know, snap at his father, and the father looked at him like, "What'd you say, boy?"
Just like that.
Yes, just like you knew he was going to get in trouble going home. But yeah, I mean, I have witnessed it. I have seen it. And I find myself getting kind of short, too, where, you know, your mind's on 20 other things going, okay, I need to do this. I need to get this. I need to do that. And you're finding that, you know, time is dwindling down, and then somebody is calling or wanting something, or you have to go do something for something, and you're just like, oh my God, where you used to have patience, you don't have the patience anymore. So yeah, I mean, I get it.
Our survival instincts are kicking in more than anything, where, you know, when you think your livelihood's threatened or your health is threatened, mm-hmm. it's a different version of you
it
that
is.
Comes out. It's more primal. And
it is, and you're scared, and you, yeah. like you said, you're protecting yourself. You're the elements, people, you don't think about that until you're like, did I just say that? Was that really me?
That was you.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, that came out. I'm so sorry. You know, yeah. Then you're apologizing. But Sarah, she likes you, Joe. You have a fan.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And she's got some great points here. You're a smart guy. That's a good point. Topic, how can we as a small business adapt to overnight changes? And this is true. Everything is changing. And I think... And we'll check into this because this is some good stuff. Thank you so much. It will take some research, and it does take change, and you have to be open to change. And a lot of people aren't.
No,
just
they aren't.
in Mahoning, Trumbull County, Ohio, we don't like change.
Mm-mm.
This is a town of.
But this might be good for us.
Yes.
I mean, because it was forced. Otherwise,
yes.
There's companies that would have never done something, but since this forced them. They got off that safety blanket and, you know, moved in a different
direction. You got to
get out
of the box. You got to get out of the box. Let me see. Oh, Sarah, she likes you, Joe. She just, you got a fan. I'm jealous. Let's see here. She says she's noticed that I am more patient with family. However, out in public, stupidity has me less patient. That we were just discussing that. That is so true. It is so true. Stressed is dessert spelled backwards. We are stressed. I think everybody now is at their breaking point with this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's hard to say, have a little bit of compassion for people, but, you know, do the count to five before you just decide to start freaking out on people, I think. I think that's the best thing to do is just, okay, I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to let this happen, and then count to five, and then don't go off on people.
Here's my little trick, and I've been doing this for the last couple of weeks because I found myself road raging a couple more times than I probably should. I'm getting a little less patient than I normally would. You know how, like, when you pull up on a car and they've got, like, the bumper stickers that they were there a veteran, and you're like, oh, you know, it's probably an 80-year-old guy, served his country. I'm going to offer more grace to this guy than I ever would. Mm-hmm. I picture that guy behind everybody, and I offer that same kind of, you know.
Great idea.
Yeah, right.
Great
even if they're
idea.
Not it. I get into that mode where I'm way more forgiving when I'm in that mode.
Yes.
A little bit of hacking.
Way good idea. See, that's why we have Joe here.
That's it. Served a purpose today.
He's our purpose man. Sarah, I'm so thankful for masks because they hide the swears. That's true. That is true.
I said one under my breath today.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Thank God I had that mask on. Paul Kist, we are all enduring this trauma. That is so true. We were all, you know, we can't state enough. We are all in this together, and we get it. I get it.
Is that
I understand.
Phrase irritating you just yet, though?
That we're all in this together?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is, because we are. We are all in this together, and he calls it trauma, and that's a, it is. It truly is. By this time now, it's trauma, because we've been dealing with this for how long?
Right. And I think that should be like a reminder to bring out the best in us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're all in this together, but it became this thing where it's over cliched.
Yes.
And when we start seeing instances where we're, you know, going in different packs and taking snipes at one another and hating
yes.
each other for whatever reason,
yes.
it doesn't feel a whole lot like we're all in this together.
I agree.
And so I think we should change that a little bit and say, you know, where we misbehave and don't act appropriately,
mm-hmm.
let's try to do less of that and more mm-hmm. looking out for one another.
That is true. We've lost that.
Yes, for sure.
We have lost the one-on-one and the personal, you know, what would you do type thing. So, yeah, no, I agree 100% on that. We should We should try a campaign for that one. Oh, she graduated. No wonder. She graduated with you from high school. It's got good roots.
You throw your eyes at me?
I
my biggest
did.
Fan? What's that? That doesn't... No, I... doesn't negate
that. She went
that.
To high school with him. Joe Road Rage, your grace is amazing. I bet your wife has something to do with that. Aww.
She is a saint. And yeah, my wife is a saint. She really does govern me. And, aww. You know...
That is awesome. That is a wonderful thing. That
it was like a kumbaya show, your first
yes.
show here.
Kumbaya.
And I feel like starting like a hippie movement. Thank you very much.
It's all in good fun, and you're a good guy to be on the show with me, too. Patience
so
galore.
I guess our goal for Tuesday's show,
yes.
one, we'll talk about the father topic.
Yes.
And two, name your show already, okay? Think about it and
yeah.
find us something other than just
Justine
what
Thomas
I came
Hour.
Up with.
Yeah, well,
can you do that for me?
It filled the space.
All right, yes, it
yeah,
did.
It filled the space. So, yes, if you have a name and you want to throw that out there, I mean, we're going to be talking about everything.
Sure.
I like to veer away from politics. We've got Mo for that. So we don't
we
have
do.
To worry
about
we'll
that. Stay away from it. He's got that covered.
Yes, he's got that covered. So, you know, just talk about what people are going through right now, how you're getting through the best of times, the worst of times. Boy, that sounds like
see, yeah. over cliche and things.
Here
cliche,
we go.
Here we
go. But no, I want to know what everybody thinks. I want to know how they're coping. I want to know what they're getting through and how they're getting through and everyday struggles in life. I want to hear about it. And if you've got something you want us to do research on, by all means, put it in the comments.
She'll
we'll take
do her
a
homework.
Look at
I won't,
it.
But she'll
absolutely.
Do it.
Absolutely. I will do my homework. So again, thanks for all the people that have commented and called in today. And this was a fun show.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
It really was. I mean, I had you here helping me out and having your friends over here.
I build one friendly in every audience.
You
so.
Do. you the man. You the man. So, again, something we're asking, something you want to hear, if you want to help me name the show, by all means do that. Put it up in the comments as well.
Have you ever,
sharing
okay,
the love
listen.
With Justine. Now, that's cute, Paul.
Have you ever seen the naming things on Twitter, by the mm-hmm. way? Like a city will say that we have this new park, and they'll open up to the residents
naming
to be
rights.
Able to name it.
Yeah.
They come up with the most ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones that win. Like, they get voted in, and then the city has to say, we're not going to really name it Silver the Celery or something like that.
Right.
So that's
celery.
What you're going to get. Somebody's going to come along
yes.
and say something silly, and that's going to be the name of your show. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Sarah, Justine is listening. That's not bad. Or sharing the love with Justine. That's not bad, Sarah, sharing the love with Justine. So yeah, I mean, any ideas, comments, anything you want us to touch upon, by all means, again, leave them in the comments. So.
All right. Great show,
it's
Justine.
It's been fun. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Make sure you tune us in next week, Tuesday. This will be our regular spot. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 o'clock, right here on Facebook Live. Catch us on the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts, as well as it will be joining the Youngstown Studio YouTube channel here in the coming weeks. Thanks a lot. See you guys next week.
Thanks. Bye-bye.